Please believe me, my willpower is not that strong. I only succeeded because I understood the reasoning. I understood the situation. Because I deeply felt the suffering, the killing. I was horrified and sickened. Thus, change was easy. From the book. Even when we vow to change, assistance is needed to truly reform. We will need constant reminders from genuine friends who are witnesses to our actions in everyday life. As for our good and bad thoughts, we can ask the beings and spirits of heaven and earth to be our witnesses. We also need to be diligent and to regret sincerely and wholeheartedly from morning till night. If we can honestly regret from 1 to 2 weeks, from 1 to 3 months, then continuing in this way, we are assured of attaining results and benefits. End quote. We need to generate our shameful heart, fearful heart, courageous, determined heart, for they are the inner direct cause and condition in reforming. But we still need catalytic factors, that is, good friends on the path to awakening, to remind us, to help us from the outside, our visible assisting factors. If we ourselves have one virtuous thought, one sincere thought of trying to correct all our faults, all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas will be happy, and all benevolent spirits will praise and respect us. Thus, without our being aware of it, they will help us. We can see that one virtuous thought can result in inconceivable benefits. Therefore, we truly need to change through actions, for in this way, cause and condition are complete. We need to be diligent in our regretting, to do so sincerely from morning until night. If we are not diligent, then we will inadvertently create karma that is negative, so we cannot be remiss. It is best if the cultivation hall that we go to has chanting for 24 hours a day. In the way places of ancient patriarchs and masters, the chanting continued night and day. During the daytime, everyone participated, but at night, there was chanting in groups of four so people could rest. But the chanting would continue for 24 hours a day. Although we may not have such a cultivation hall where we live, we can make use of cassette tapes or a chanting machine. We simply chant along with it, as if participating in a large assembly. The volume should not be so loud that it disturbs others, nor so soft that we cannot hear it clearly. We can even listen when sleeping. Sometimes we can even hear it when we dream. So we can chant in our dreams. The ancient people said this was like hearing the drum play or the thunder roar as we slept. It would be wonderful if we could even hear the chanting in our sleep, as if we were in a 7-day retreat. Mr. Liao Fan spoke of sincerely regretting for 1 week. Participating in a 7-day retreat in which the chanting was for a limited time each day is not as good as gathering a group of like-minded friends in a quiet place to chant continuously for 7 days. A 7-day retreat should continue non-stop, day and night, not just during the daytime. Also, when we attend our first retreat, we should not try to participate for the full 7 days, because most people will have difficulty trying to do so. We could try 1 day and night for 24 hours. After we feel this is effective, then we could try 2 days and nights, then 3 days and nights, etc., gradually lengthening the time we practice. Thus, to truly cultivate, we could chant once a week straight for 3 days and three nights. If we are unable to try this, simply try a shorter time. The merit accrued from this would be very effective and outstanding. Liao Fan's 4 lessons tells us how we can create our destiny. When there is a sincere request, a response will follow. If we sincerely seek a way place, then we should be able to attain what we seek. If we are able to maintain this kind of effort for 1 to 3 months, we will begin to see the desired results. From the text, what are the benefits of contrition? We may feel very much at ease, and our hearts may feel light and generous. A person of low intelligence may suddenly become wise. Another might maintain a clear and relaxed mind, even in a disturbing and confusing environment. We should also feel an extensive understanding of everything, or we would be able to drive out all hatred upon seeing an enemy and maintain a happy attitude. End quote. There are many examples of desired results. If we have been depressed or unhappy in the past, we can instead become joyful. If we have had many worries, they can be lifted from our minds after we reach understanding, and instead we can become liberated and free. If we were confused, we can become intelligent and no longer be foolish. When we find ourselves in circumstances that are disturbing or agitating, or we may encounter many diverse and hard-to-solve matters, we are suddenly easily able to solve them, even if others seem overwhelmed by them. We have seen examples of this in some fellow practitioners. Some are able to settle matters they undertake without any apparent difficulty, while others find it extremely difficult to resolve them. Mr. Yu said in his commentary, "This is a sign of good fortune, merit, and virtue." This speaks of former enemies, those who resented us, but who now are favorably inclined towards us, who have changed their whole demeanor towards us. All this is due to our merits from our cultivation, of being able to influence, to change others unobtrusively, imperceptibly. It is said that kind-hearted people have no enemies. They have the appearance of good fortune, merit, virtue. From the text, we may dream of spitting out black things. We may also dream of ancient sages or virtuous people who have come to encourage and escort us. Or we may dream of flying in space without a care in the world. We may also dream of all kinds of colorful pennants and ornately decorated canopies. These distinctive phenomena are all indications of a successful reform and a dissolving of past offenses. End quote. Black things are pollutants. They are karmic obstacles. In the past, we may have had numerous nightmares of great confusion, but not anymore. Although we still dream, what we see is as clear as what we see in the daylight. We may also dream of ancient sages or virtuous people who have come to help us. Another good sign is when we dream of Buddhas or Bodhisattvas teaching us about the sutras and guiding us in our practice. We may also dream of flying in space, of canopies and decorated pennants. These are all phenomena that indicate success in our attempts to reform. Whether in our daily life or in our dreams, all these responses are signs that our karmic obstacles are being reduced. They are signs of good fortune and happiness gradually materializing. From the text, however, we must not consider seeing these phenomena as a sign of perfection. Instead, we must resolve to further improve ourselves and work even harder to reform. End quote. We should not be proud that we have made progress. If we become arrogant, just as our karmic obstacles are being reduced and eradicated, then we will again regress. Therefore, we must guard against arrogance. We need to increase our resolve to continue our improving and put even greater effort into reforming. If we become satisfied with our accomplishments, then we will be unable to make any further improvements. We need to be constantly diligent to seek improvement, to never limit our efforts to improve, to persevere with deep felt confidence. Even when we are born into the Western Pure Land, we need to continue to improve. How can we be content when so many beings are waiting for our help? We need to be satisfied in our spiritual and everyday manner of living. But we should never be satisfied when seeking improvement in our virtue and cultivation. From the text. During the spring-autumn period in China, there was a high senior government official in Wei named Bo Yuchu. When he was 20, he was already mindful of his faults. He analyzed his mistakes and tried to correct them thoroughly. At the age of 21, he felt he still had not completely corrected all his faults. When he was 22, he felt as if 21 was spent dreamily, without practical improvement. Thus, year after year, he continued to correct his faults. When he reached 50, Bo Yu still felt that the past 49 years were filled with wrongdoing. This was how particular our ancestors were regarding the correction of faults. End quote. Bo Yu Chu was awakened when he was only 20. He knew his faults and vowed to reform. At 21, he still felt the need for improvement. All this was further proof of the passage that we should keep working on improving ourselves and not consider positive phenomena as an indication of perfection. Bo Yu Chu had accomplished this. Every year, every month, every day, he would continuously reflect within and reform. When Bo Yu reached 50, he still felt that his entire life was spent doing bad deeds. This is an excellent example of how people used to be so careful in correcting their faults. This account is an excellent example of how diligent, virtuous ancestors were. They persevered, practiced great willpower and patience in reforming themselves, and they proved that their endurance and efforts are worthy of our emulation. From the text. We are just ordinary people, and our mistakes are as numerous as the spines on a porcupine. Oftentimes, when we look back, we do not even see our own faults. This is because we are careless and do not know how to reflect on our own actions. It is as if a cataract is growing in our eye. We become so blind that we cannot even see that we are making mistakes every day. End quote. Mr. Liao Fan taught his son to observe the conduct of our ancestors, then to look back on our own conduct and reflect within. We are ordinary people who possess excessive faults and wrongdoings, and they are as numerous as the spines on a porcupine. And yet, often when we look back, we do not even see our own faults. Thinking back over today, looking at yesterday, at last year, or even earlier, it would seem that we have created no grave mistakes, that we have not done anything seriously wrong. Why? We are negligent and careless. It is as if a cataract has grown in our eye, blocking us from seeing our own faults. If we do not see our own faults, we will be unable to reform. And if we do not reform, we will be forever deterred from standing out from the crowd. This is why great master Lian Qi taught beginners to use the merit fault chart, so that they would be watchful over their every thought, word, and deed. Only when we discover our numerous faults will we be truly afraid. As we reform, we need to begin changing from the heart. We then reinforce this with changing through reasoning. In this way, we simultaneously practice both the primary and the secondary ways to reform. From the text, all these are the symptoms of having accumulated too many offenses and transgressions. Our hearts may feel confused and oppressed, lacking energy and spirit. We will become extremely forgetful, filled with worries, even when nothing is happening. End quote. In the practice of Buddhism, not only the signs of our great or small karmic obstacles can be detected, but those of others as well. When we have committed too many offenses, our hearts may feel heavy, and we may become extremely forgetful at work or study. We will find that we are unable to lift our spirits. When young people unexpectedly begin to forget things like elderly people do, it is due to karmic obstacles. True cultivators will find that even in their 80s and 90s, their memories are still very good. It is also an indication of karmic obstacles when we worry even when nothing is happening. The past is past. What is the use of dwelling on it? Tomorrow is yet to come. Thinking about it is wandering thoughts. Some people are extremely good at worrying and thinking about the past, about the present, about the future. They can do so all day long. This is making a mountain out of a molehill, and this is a karmic obstacle. From the text, We may feel embarrassed and depressed upon meeting a virtuous person. We may become displeased at hearing proper reasoning. And when showing kindness to others, we are in turn treated with hostility. We will constantly have nightmares where everything is upside down and will talk incoherently and behave abnormally. All these are signs of misfortune. End quote. If we are just and honorable, we will neither be embarrassed nor conscience-stricken when we meet virtuous people. Neither would we feel listless, dejected, dispirited, or unable to exert ourselves. A sign of misfortune is becoming displeased at hearing proper teaching. In other words, we will not want to listen to the teachings of Buddha, Mencius, Confucius, or to those of Muhammad, Jesus, or Moses, to any proper teachings. In the earlier years of the Qing Dynasty, everyone recited and listened to the Infinite Life Sutra. But due to the Empress Dowager's discomfort in hearing it, the recitation was abolished. Perhaps listening to the teachings on the 10 bad conducts and their resultant sufferings in the human and hell realms made her uncomfortable due to her karmic obstacles. When we are kind to others, we may be met with hostility. For example, if we give someone a gift, not only do they not thank us for it, they may even resent us for it. Another side of misfortune is having nightmares where everything is confused and our speech and behavior become abnormal. This means when we speak nonsensically and disjointedly, when our behavior becomes psychotic, that we have come up against a major karmic obstacle. These are signs of significant transgressions. From the text, if we have any of the above symptoms, we must immediately gather our willpower and reform all of our faults. It is necessary to form a new life and not delay. End quote. If we have any of these signs, we need to regret earnestly, to rid ourselves of these bad habits. We no longer have the time to procrastinate or to be careless. If we do not reform ourselves today, we will not have a future. Thereupon, discovering our faults, any of these symptoms, we need to immediately correct our faults. We need to not stray off onto a deviated path and waste our whole life in the process. Only when we truly rid ourselves of bad habits and faults will we be able to accept the teachings, to cultivate good deeds, and accumulate virtues. Especially in education, when imparting the teachings to others. It is important to pass the teachings to those who have qualities such as having fewer faults, purity of mind, bravery in reforming, and achievement in wisdom. Without these qualities, it would be useless to teach this person. For example, we might teach a person who is not virtuous, who does not have the correct motivation to learn. They would not learn the true essence. We might have enabled him or her to commit even greater offenses. If they did not have this additional knowledge, then he or she would have less chance of harming others, less chance of creating negative karma for themselves. With more knowledge and more abilities, this person could create more offenses of greater severity. In this case, the teacher would have selected the wrong person as a successor. Therefore, teachers need to know if the person is qualified to accept the knowledge and the abilities. If not, they will not pass the teachings to them. Please do not think that this is withholding knowledge. However, if we are unwilling to teach a suitable person, then we have possibly wasted a very good Buddhist successor. So if a person is suitable, we teach them. If they are not suitable, we do not. So, how do we accumulate merit? We correct each and every fault. This will enable us to have the abilities and the conditions to accept the great teachings. We will then perform more good deeds to meet the qualifications for being a proper Dharma repository before accepting the great teachings. From the text, I Ching, the Book of Changes, explains that families who perform good deeds will accumulate prosperity which can outlast many generations. Let me give an example. Once there was a family by the name of Yan. Before they agreed to give their daughter in marriage to the man who later became Confucius' father, they looked into the past deeds of the family. After finding the family to be one that practiced kindness and accumulated virtues, the Yan family felt assured that their daughter would be marrying into a family that would be prosperous with outstanding descendants. End quote. I Ching, the Book of Changes, is used as the introduction for the principles in this part of the lesson. A family that accumulates good deeds is bound to have prosperity to spare. Even if we could not enjoy all the good fortune during this lifetime, we would have enough left over for our descendants to enjoy for generations to come. There is profound meaning within this. People in the past were very different from people today. Since ancient times in China, the decision of the parents and the advice of the matchmakers has always determined a union of marriage. When we compare freedom of love in today's society with traditional ways, the latter had its advantages. Parents who were well educated and high in moral standards undoubtedly chose the best and most promising spouse for their children. On the other hand, the disadvantage is that parents who had no education and did not know better often sold their daughter out for a good price. Children were unwillingly forced to live together as they followed their parents' wishes and were unhappy for the rest of their lives. This is an obvious disadvantage, but we should not let this overshadow the advantages. Liang Heshu was Confucius' father. The maiden name of Confucius' mother was Yang. The Yang family spoken of here is Confucius' maternal grandfather, who married his daughter to Confucius' father, which proved that very careful thinking went into this match. He knew that the family had accumulated virtues and practiced good deeds for several generations. This proves that, by the decision of the parents and the advice of the matchmaker, many happy families have been joined since ancient times. In ancient times, all those who held power, whether it was an emperor who ruled an empire or a mayor who ruled a county or a town, faithfully followed three guidelines. They were to act as leader, parent, and teacher. First, it was necessary to act as a leader for the people in a governed area. To act as the parent meant to be parent of the citizens for all the people in that area. He was supposed to behave towards every person as if they were his relatives, in terms of protecting them, caring for them, nurturing them. To act as the teacher meant that he should be a role model and teach them what they did not understand. Consequently, the responsibilities of acting as leader, parent, teacher all fell upon the shoulders of the ruler. If he could uphold these three responsibilities, then he had performed infinite goodness. Obviously, these three guidelines do not exist in many of today's democratic societies. From the text, Confucius had once praised Shun on his filial piety, saying, "Due to his great filial piety and sincerity, Shun could deeply move even his ancestors to accept his offerings. His accumulation of merits and good fortune would last for many, many generations. These sayings were later proven true by history. Now I will show, in some true accounts, that merits can be attained through performing good deeds. End quote. Confucius highly praised Emperor Shun. In ancient Chinese history, Shun was the first person known for his greatness in filial piety. He saw only his own faults, not those of others. In Buddhism, he was a prime example of a practitioner. The Platform Sutra tells us, a true practitioner does not see the faults of others. Shun accomplished just this. As history proved, the virtues he had accumulated guaranteed his descendants prosperity. The examples of the people who had performed kind deeds that Mr. Liao Fan talks about are all supported by fact. All of the people and the events which Mr. Liao Fan used as examples were from his own time in the Ming Dynasty, approximately 400 years ago. All of the events that happened were only a few decades apart and were familiar to everyone of his time. He used these examples to encourage people to practice good deeds and to accumulate goodness, because these would result in good rewards. From the text. In Fujian province, there was a prominent man named Rong Yang, who held a position in the imperial court as the emperor's teacher. His ancestors were boat people who made a living by helping people cross the river. Once, there was a storm which lasted so long that fierce flooding washed away all the houses. People, animals, and goods were carried downriver by the current. Other boaters took advantage of the situation and strove to collect the floating goods. Only Rong Yang's grandfather and great-grandfather took interest in rescuing the drowning people. They did not take any of the goods that floated by. The other boaters all laughed and thought them to be very foolish. Later, when Rong Yang's father was born, the Yang family gradually became wealthy. End quote. During Venerable Master Jing Kong's childhood, he lived in Jian'o for 6 years and often went with schoolmates to play in what had formerly been Rong Yan's house. It was of an ancient style, filled with many antiques. There were two stone lions on either side of the front door, and lanterns were hung in front, such as were hung in ancient Wei places. At the time of this account, when there was too much rain, the rivers would flood, causing serious flooding which destroyed houses and washed away belongings. other voters took advantage of the situation by collecting the victim's goods in order to make a small fortune. Only Rong Yang's grandfather and great-grandfather were the exceptions as they rescued those who were drowning. They took no interest in any of the passing goods. The other boaters all laughed and thought they were extremely foolish in passing up such a great opportunity to become rich, for they chose instead to save lives. It was only with the birth of Rong Yang's father that the family's living conditions improved. Consider how much money they could have made rowing people across the river. Sometimes passengers did not have money to pay the fare, but they would still have to be transported across the river. Therefore, the fee was given at will and depended simply on how much the passenger was able to pay. A small container was placed on one side of the boat, and passengers would place into the container whatever amount they chose to. There was no set rate. This was the accepted practice in Fujian at that time.